Today's presenter is Lornette Wheeler. Lornette has worked for IBM for over 27 years. She served in TCP IP customer support for 10 years before joining the WebSphere MQ support team. In this role, she focuses on solving WebSphere MQ issues on ZOS and VSE platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Lornette.
Hi. Okay, as Elijah said, this presentation is about debugging long-running units of work. Let's move to slide number 2. The purpose of the presentation is to identify reasons for long-running units of work, to provide some hints on identifying resources that are associated with those units of work, and to recommend ways to prevent those long-running units of work. Let's move to slide number 3. To begin with, let's define some terms that will help you understand what's involved with the long-running unit of work. What is a unit of work? A unit of work is the processing of a set of changes within a single task before those updates have been synchronized. So you can have several MQ get calls and MQ put calls in a single unit of work. Moving to slide number 4. What are logs? The active logs are used to record all significant updates and events for persistent messages, queue manager objects, and definitions. Each record written to the log has a relative byte address, and that relative byte address is the offset of that log record from the beginning of the log. The queue manager uses this RBA for recovery processing. And the queue manager wouldn't want to start back at RBA 0 for recovery processing, so the queue manager would take frequent queue manager checkpoints. The archive log. When the active log begins to fill, MQ would take a copy of the contents that's in that active log and move it to what we call the archive log. And the archive log can be on either DASTI or tape. And the process of moving that active log to the archive log is called offload process. Moving to slide number 5. What is a queue manager checkpoint? When we record information about a persistent message, the log is first updated, and then the information is written to the queue. That means that the logs can become more up-to-date than the queue. So a checkpoint is the point in time when the records described in the log and the records described on the queue are the same records. And in doing checkpointing, we note all the beginning RBAs for all units of work that are active during this checkpoint process. Let's move to slide number 6. Finally, what is a long-running unit of work? A long-running unit of work is a unit of work that has been active for more than 3 queue manager checkpoints. So that means the changes have not been committed to tell the queue manager that processing for that unit of work is complete. So basically, if your application has issued an MQ get or MQ put or both calls and have not issued an MQ commit, then that's a unit of work that has not been completed. Moving to slide number 7. Okay, now that we know what a long-running unit of work is, let's describe some problems that can be caused by these units of work. Okay, the major problem used to be the amount of time required for recovering during the queue manager restart. And in MQ version 5.3.1, this is still a big problem. And the reason it's a big problem is if you have a long-running unit of work doing queue manager restart, then you're going to have to, you need all of those records pertaining to that unit of work. And that could span multiple archive logs. And we know that we can experience problems such as bad DASTI, for archive logs, we have damaged archive logs. We had problems where the archive logs were written to tape and the tape rolled off and ended up in the scratch pool. So we can have lots of problems caused by trying to doing recovery with a long-running unit of work. So to ease the restart problem, MQ version 6 introduced something called log shunting. And log shunting is the process of moving log records associated with a long-running unit of work further down in the active log so that record does not have to be moved to the archive log. Okay, let's move to slide number 8. So for the most part, MQ version 6 tries to eliminate the restart problem with long-running units of work. But you can run into other problems, okay? One problem, the application may experience 20/24 when it reaches the maximum number of uncommitted messages for a unit of work. And if that application is not coded to handle this 20/24, then we can run into looping applications. Let's move to slide number 9. Another problem, since messages are not visible to other applications until they are committed, you can have applications get an unexpected 20/33. They can issue an MQ GET, and if that message, even though the current dep says the message is there, if that message has not been committed, then you're going to get a 20/33 during that MQ GET call. Also, the queue manager counts both the committed and uncommitted messages when it makes a decision on whether to generate a trigger message. Start the process, and then when the process starts, issues the MQ GET, and the message has not been committed, again, you have applications with unexpected 20/33. Let's move to slide number 10. Now, this is an extreme example, but we have had customers experience storage problems because of long-running units of work. And in this example, the customer had a very, very long message, and they didn't want to do a commit until they had moved the complete message. And on top of that, there were about 600 clients each trying to move this particular long message. So the storage problem was caused by the number of locks, storage pools that MQ requires in case it has to recover that unit of work. So the recommendation, if you're going to move long messages, then you need to commit every 10 or so MQ GET. If you're going to move a long message, the recommendation from Support Pack MP16 is to commit every 10 or so MQ GETs. Let's move to slide number 11. Okay, let's look at some ways to identify a long-running unit of work. In MQ version 5.3.1, we issued a CSQJ160I message if we detect a long-running unit of work when we copy our active log to the archive log, which is our offload processing. In MQ version 6, we identified long-running units of work by issuing the CSQR026I message. That means that a unit of work has existed for more than 3 queue manager checkpoints. It also means that records associated with that unit of work are now being moved down further down into the active log. Moving to slide number 12. So these are some of the commands that you can use to help you identify resources associated with those long-running units of work. In MQ version 5.3, you have the display channel status command that can display information about a specific channel. You have a display queue status command that can display information about a specific queue. You have a display the display thread command, which will display information about active threads. And in MQ version 6, we have a display con command, and that command is used to display basically most of the information that's displayed in the 3 commands in MQ version 5.3. And also, it allows you to see information about associated units of work. Moving to slide number 13. So in MQ version 5.3, if you want to see active threads, you can do display thread type active, or you can do display queue status type handle. Moving to slide number 14. In MQ version 6, if you want to display information about active threads, you can do display con, where the UOW state equals active, or if you get a CSQR026I message, we identify the RB8 number. So you can do display con where the QMURID equals the RBA number. It almost seems like you would specify the URID in there, but you specify the RBA number in this equation. Moving to slide number 15. Okay, so we're going to go through some examples that customers have experienced. And really, these examples are used to show you as the customer what you can do to you know, progress figuring out what's going on with a long-running unit of work. And it's also used to help you to know when, you know, you've done enough and you just need to engage the support center. So the first example is an IMX example. And the customer came in and reported the CSQR 026 I message. Okay, and in that message, we have the RBA number, the URID, and not shown here, we also have the connection name. So the customer issued the display con where the QMURID equals the RBA number. So I don't show all of the details of that command, but what was key here is the Apple tag. Most of the time, the Apple tag specifies the job name. In this instance, it reflected an MQ resource. Okay, let's move to slide number 16. So the debugging approach. The customer was able to run the CSQ1 log P job and specified the URID that was present in the CSQR 026 I message. Let's move to slide number 17. So this is the output that you'll see from for that unit of work once you run the CSQ1 log P specifying the URID. So we can see that we started the shunting process. We did a put, which is indicative of the insert record, and we ended the shunt process, which didn't give us much more than the display output. I mean, we did learn that we were involved with the XMIT queue because of the MQ XMIT format, but basically that still didn't give us enough information to figure out what was going on with this unit of work. Let's move to slide 18. So we're still in our debugging process. So since we didn't find enough information in the display to help us define that task, the customer had to provide a dump of MQ master and chin. And using the LRID, which is the LRID in the insert record from the CSQ1 log P output. That LRID is the logical record identifier, and it consists of the page set number, the page number, and the record number where the changes are occurring. So we were able to use that record, the LRID, and an internal C list, and look at buffers that were still in storage to determine the messages associated with this unit of work. And I emphasize that it's an internal C list, and we did try to get that C list for the customer, but Thanks Team says internal C list, so for now, you know, this is the way you have to debug it. Anyway, using the internal C list, we were able to find the XMIT queue name associated with the unit of work. We were able to determine the IMS transaction name, and we were also able to find the actual message data that was destined for the queue. And so when we looked at that message data, we found that it was an IMS message stating that the IMS transaction or logical terminal had been stopped. Okay, so let's move to slide number 19. Okay, we still... This was a difficult one to debug, so because at this point we're still not sure what's going on here. The Apple tag, which is for CSQ2 QCP1, is an MQ module that's associated with an IMS reply to queue. So one, we were able to find out that the customer had applied maintenance the previous weekend before the problem started to occur. And they applied an IMS fix for PK37783, and this APAR changed the way that OTMA handles those IMS DFS XX messages. And when they changed the way that they handle those messages, it caused MQ to mishandle the commit processing for these type of messages. So the remedy was to apply the fix for IMS PK45682. And even if you don't have long-running units of work, you would still, if you have PK37783 on, you'll also want to get PK45682 on because this APAR also fixes the storage problem in subpool 229 key 7 because of the number of IME control blocks that MQ has often because of this commit process. So to eliminate the unit of work, they just had to restart the transaction, and that cleared the CSQR 026 iMessage. So let's move to slide number 20. Okay, this is an ServerCon example in MQ version 5.3. So the customer again reported to CSQJ 160i, and in this message we don't have the RBA number. We only have the URID and the connection name. So the customer was able to do a display thread and was able to match the URID in the CSQJ 160i message with the URID in the display thread active output. Now, I have underlined the first four bytes of that thread reference, and those first four bytes represent an internal representation of the channel name. Let's move to slide number 21. Okay. So in version 5.3, there really wasn't a lot you could do for debugging channel. So using the dump of the chain and the master, well, actually of the chain, we were able to use the information in the display thread and figure out the channel name, on name. Now, as a customer, if you want to initialize your dump under IPCS and issue the verb exit command mentioned in the problem determination guide for looking at channel status, if you bring up that command and if you do a search for those first four characters in that output, then you could find the channel name and the con address. Okay, let's move to slide number 22. Okay, MQ version 6, the display con command, which we've talked about previously, now includes a lot of the information that, such as the channel name and the con name. That information is externalized so that when you issue this command, you can see that information. Let's move to slide number 23. All right. Okay, so this is an example of how the display con command would look in version 6, and I didn't include all of the fields, but what's key here is you get the Apple tag specifying the job name that's associated with it. You get the ASID, and you also get the channel name and the con name. So this is the information that used to be in the dump. Now you can see it in the display con command. Let's move to slide number 24. Okay. So these long-running units of work were associated with channels where the remote partner was no longer there. So these were orphaned channels. So to clear the situation, we had to stop the ServerCon channel with the mode force or recycle the chain. Okay, let's move to slide number 25. So if we wanted to prevent having to recycle the chain or stop the channels with mode force, we can code some parameters that's used to clean up these orphan channels. So in version 5.3, you set the TCP key equals yes in your chain parm, and you specify the keep alive parameter on the ServerCon definition. In MQ version 6, you can also specify the keep alive parameter, but we also introduced the heartbeat interval. Now, this is on ZOS. On distributed platforms, these parameters have been around for a little while, but on ZOS, we now have the heartbeat interval, and we have the disconnect interval, which will take those channels down, those orphan channels down, if the remote partner is no longer there. Let's move to slide number 26. Okay, this is an example of an XA client, and I included this example just to show the complexity sometimes involved in debugging some of the long-running units of work. Okay, so again, the customer reported a CSQJ 160i message. This problem involved a WebSphere application server XA client, so that means that WebSphere is now the transaction manager, and he's responsible for setting MQ when it's time to commit, so forth and so on. So it's a WebSphere application server XA client that was interfacing with MQ and IMS in a shared queue environment. So So you can see that the environment is already complex. So let's move to slide number 27. So the debugging approach here, again, the customer can run CSQ1 log P specifying the URID. And the output of that information, you'll see that the unit of work, or UR, which we call, is another name for U, unit of work. UR stands for unit of recovery. So you see we started the unit of work. We process an XAN call, and then it looks like we're in the phase one commit processing. Okay, it's not shown here, but in our XAN record, there's a XA client ID, and we need that information to pass on to the next level of support. So let's move to slide number 28. Okay, so we're still in our debugging process. The WebC application server, and since he's the transaction manager and he's interfacing with RRS, they both need this XA client ID to determine the state of this unit of work. So from the and a note here is that if WebC application server is involved, then you're going to need the dump of your server and controller region. Okay, so they were able to look at this information in their dump and determine that it looked like we were also in phase one commit processing. So we had to move to the next level of interfacing. We had to move to RRS for them to figure out what was going on. So they took the XID from that information, and they were able to determine that the IMS transaction involved was hung in a bagout state. And the real crux of the problem was due to a DB2 admin that had occurred earlier that caused this IMS transaction to be hung in a bagout state. Let's move to slide number 28. So the key here really is after all the debugging, the only thing that we could do was recycle the WebSphere application server to try and clear that XA client. Let's move to slide number 30. Okay, this is a batch job example, and I created this myself just to show you this display of some information for a batch job. Okay, so this is the output of a display con where the QM URID is equal to the RBA number associated in that message. I didn't include all of the information, but key here is the QM URID, the start date, the start time, the UOW state still active. You get the user ID that submitted the application, and you get the actual job name associated with that unit of work. So this is a lot of information for helping determine how to debug the long-running unit of work that we didn't have previously. Okay, moving to slide number 32. So the debug approach here is we had to cancel the batch job. And when you cancel the batch job, all the updates are going to be bagged out. Now, in MQ version 6, if the unit of work was successfully shunted, then the bagout won't require an archive log. But if you're using MQ version 5.3.1 or you're in MQ version 6 and your records weren't successfully shunted, then you're going to need the archive log to back out this unit of work, and you're going to need the archive logs all the way back to the beginning of this unit of work. If you don't have the archive logs back to the beginning of this unit of work, then the queue manager is going to take an admin trying to recover this unit of work. Now, when the queue manager restarts, you can, to commit this unit of work, because you can't back it out, the only thing you can do is commit it. You have to reply yes to the CSQR021D message, asking if you want to commit the unit of work. Now, in MQ version 6, you have to verify that you have a fix for PK24888 applied. Otherwise, you won't get the CSQR021 dog message during the queue manager restart. And we found this because a customer had, he was trying to recover at a disaster recovery site, and he didn't take all of his archive logs with him, and he had a long-running unit of work. So when he tried to come back up, the queue manager was trying to resolve this long-running unit of work, and he needed an archive log that was no longer available. And the customer couldn't commit this unit of work because in version 6, we didn't issue the CSQR-026-DAW message to allow him to get past this long-running unit of work. Fortunately, this was just a test, and they were doing a disaster recovery test because the customer ended up having to cold start their queue manager. So it's key that in version 6 that you have your, the PK24, the fix for PK24 applied to your system. Okay, let's move to slide number 33. Okay, we're almost finished here, and what I seem to have indicated to you that we have to take drastic measures in each instance to recover or to get rid of the long-running unit of work. And that's a true statement. There's no command like the resolve command that you can resolve an in-doubt unit of work. Because an in-doubt unit of work is we've gone through commit one processing and we're headed toward commit phase two commit processing. So we are at a state where we can either bag it out or commit the unit of work. But a long-running unit of work, the queue manager does not know if that unit of work has been completed. So the application must commit that unit of work or the unit of work has to be bagged out. So to prevent long-running units of work, first and foremost, you must ensure that the application is designed to commit frequently enough. Okay, if the application is designed to commit frequently enough, then you have to look at other things such as is the ServerCon for the remote partner still active? If you have a KIX transaction, is that KIX transaction hung? If it's in a wait state, if you have an IMS transaction, you want to make sure that IMS transaction has not been stopped. And if you have a batch job and you're sure that it's committing frequently enough, then you want to see if that batch job is getting resources or if that batch job is somehow swapped out. Let's move to slide number 34. Okay, so to reiterate, if you get as far as you can with debugging long-running units of work and you need to call a support center, this is the documentation that's required. Okay, we need the NQ master and chin job logs just so that we can see the error messages and concentrate on the right unit of work. We need a dump of the master, the chin, and the data space. It contains control blocks, storage that contain messages so that we can figure out what applications are associated with the units of work. We're going to need the output from the CSQ1 log P, you know, specifying that URID that's representing the long-running unit of work, and if it involves WebSphere application server, we're going to need the dump of the controller and the servant region, and if it's an X8 client where WebSphere is the transaction manager, then we're going to also need a dump of RRS. Okay, let's move to slide number 36. That concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
And it appears there are no questions. Mr. Robertson, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Lonette, for presenting today.
Thank you.